broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Police say Father Alexius was merely lost and asking for help when he pulled into...
Well, it makes me think of my grandfather who served at Anzio in World War II.
He had just been squatting and stood up. And, it, you know, if you've ever been out to one of our ranges, like a pop...
Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
George Bush doesn't care about...
Syria.
Cat urine!
World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch here. And where through the looking glass we go each and every night on our trek toward wherever the hell it is we're going, man. Just a good time, really, is all we're looking to have. Coming up this hour, we have Jeff Dowder. Jeff is a gamer. He's going to be talking with us about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Also later in the program, a man gets tasered six times. We wanted to talk to you about that last night, but, you know, couldn't load the night up with a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that would have been great, though.
All right, well, maybe we'll get to it tonight. And the Vatican looks for aliens. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, before we get... Jeff Dowder on the phone here, and he is a competitive gamer, and by that I mean these video games, Xbox, so forth, PlayStation, 360. You know the games. If you have kids, and if you play them yourself, you know what I'm talking about. This new game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, or as it is known out on the street, Call of Duty 4. This is obviously one in a series of games called Call of Duty. And it's very graphic. One of the scenes that appeared online and was prominent on YouTube has to do with the player, joining a group of terrorists as they walk into an airport and gun down. And let me tell you, obviously the graphics and the animation has gotten so good that you'd swear to God you're looking at a film of some kind, or you're looking at an actual videotape or filmed reenactment by living actors. It's you. Sometimes you do a double take. Are these real people? Or this animated? Is this an animated clip? In this clip from Call of Duty 4, the player kills civilians in a Russian airport in this very controversial scene. You get the general idea. You're getting the general idea there. That is a graphic scene, and you can hear the screams of civilians as these terrorists, these men with these automatic weapons, move through this security line after killing everybody in the security line. They move on down toward the gate section, and they're just basically shooting everything that moves, including people who are obviously wounded, attempting to get back to their feet, and they're gunned down and killed. Joining us from Temple City, California, is Jeff Dowder. Jeff's familiar with this game and other games in this particular genre. Jeff, thanks for joining us this evening.
I'm very happy to do it. I'm happy to maybe possibly clear up some misconceptions.
All right. Well, what am I missing about this game?
Well, I think what's been missed by the media in general on this game is that it affords those of us who may have a political point of view that's sympathetic, and, you know, if we can just sort of lift the judgment from this for just a second and look at this from an objective point of view, if there's people that are sympathetic to the political aim, say, of so-called terrorists, you can engage as a terrorist, if you see terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but you are not willing to you know, encounter the military or police, or to deal with civilian, you know, police authority. So you're able to practice the political tool of terrorism, and at the same time, and do it on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, the same way any other terrorist, if I can use that word, would do it. And you do not have to suffer the intrusion or the action of police authority. And so,
are you saying that you agree with the use of terrorism?
I don't agree with the use of terrorism. I agree with the use of terrorism. I'm not willing, personally, to be engaged by police.
So you agree with the killing of innocent human beings?
I'm not willing to say that, no. I'm willing to say that I have long been an admirer of the idea of terrorism as a political tool.
Well, if you say that you're an admirer of terrorism as a political tool...
But Mr. Rainer, I didn't really come on your program to talk politics. I came on your program to talk about this game, you know.
Yeah, but you made a statement that is that underlies your argument here, that you have a admiration for the use of terrorism.
I said I admire it as a political tool. I did not say that I am willing to go out and practice terrorism as it's currently practiced, because I like to think that I'm smarter than most terrorists. The problem with terrorists, obviously, is that they kill themselves in the process, and they get and if they don't, they get arrested and they're incarcerated for the rest of their lives, and that to me is not intelligent. I think for the very first time in the history of certainly of gaming, and in and the first time in the history of modern society, we're able to move terrorism up a notch and make it something that you survive, that you're able to affect the terrorist aim, and you don't get arrested by the police. So that's an evolution, you know. And to say that I admire terrorists, I don't admire terrorists today because they wind up, like I said, either getting killed or they wind up going to jail.
Other than that, you're fine with what they do.
Well, it's hard to be fine with what they do when it essentially fails. With Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, this is an evolution of terrorism that allows you to practice terrorism and not be arrested for it. And you saw yourself, Mr. Henry, that clip. The realism of it is hard to argue with, and it obviously scared people that saw it, and I'm sure that it even scared some of the people in your audience that heard it. And so that tells me that, you know, this is very effective. And what we're able to do with this game is practice terrorism and again, avoid the detection of police action or obvious mortal wound that is going to, end your life.
All right, what do you say to people who say to you that you're not practicing terrorism at all? You're a guy sitting playing a game.
You know what, I would invite them to sit down with me and watch me play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and walk out of that room feeling like they haven't been terrorized, because they will. And I can only tell you this, Mr. Henry, people that say that, they haven't seen, they haven't seen Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I mean, these guys go into the airport, they gun down everybody in sight, and you're terrorized by it.
Well, how do you, if you say that you like the idea of terrorism, you just don't want to be arrested by the police, how do you terrorize somebody playing Call of Duty?
Well, that's a very common question, and I know a lot of people that ask it generally are very condescending when they ask it, but I can tell you this right now, and you can trust me on this. If you sit, if you came over to my house on a Saturday morning, okay, and you sat down on my couch next to me while I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, maybe level 2, you would be terrorized.
And how am I going to be terrorized, man?
Because you're watching me gunning down innocent human beings in the most realistic way that has ever been put into a game, and it's unrelenting. The effects are real.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeff, it doesn't sound like something that's going to terrorize me.
Well, it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to say, but that's why I'm one of the top gamers, because when I play Modern Warfare, 2, it will terrorize you. And the other thing is, when you ask me how do you terrorize people, if I stand in a Federal Express office, or I'm standing in line to go see a movie over at the Montclair 5, or I'm with my girlfriend at Macy's or something, and I say, while she's buying perfume or she's getting pantyhose or something, and I say, I killed 35 civilians at a Russian airport yesterday, I can guarantee you, that...
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, well, I can guarantee you that the people within earshot are going to be terrorized and the effect will be real, okay? So...
All right, but what you're telling me is the way you terrorize people with Call of Duty 4 is by having me come to your house and sit down and watch you play the game.
Well, you're making it sound like I'm inviting you over to have, pancakes. That's not what... You're going to be terrorized. And again, for the gamer, for me, who does see the terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but I'm smarter than the average terrorist because I want to live and I don't want to be in prison in Yemen, or something like that, Mr. Henry?
Right.
I can use this game and affect the same kind of a political outcome and not suffer those consequences.
Well, I have to get back and ask Jeff here in a moment, what political gains will he make playing Call of Duty 4? It's a very violent game. This is Jeff Dowder on the line with us, who's a gamer, who says he believes in the idea of terrorism as a political tool. He just doesn't like the idea of police intervention. But by playing Call of Duty 4, which shows very graphically people being murdered in an airport, you can be a terrorist and still remain alive and out of police custody. 877, so I guess the question here, Bud, is, can you actually be what you think you're being when you're playing a game?
In a lot of ways you can, because people laugh at that, but you can. You do become and have the skills of those people in a game and everything.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Talking about Call of Duty 4, a violent, violent video game that's been released. It shows graphic terrorist violence. Jeff Dowder is our guest. He's a big fan of this game. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
There's a lot of things you can do, other than just sit and have flapjacks.
Jeff Dowder joins us. He is a gamer, and he's a big fan of Call of Duty 4. It is called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, actually, but it's known as Call of Duty 4. And this is a very graphic video game that has a segment of violence, terrorist violence, where Russian terrorists go into an airport and kill everyone in sight. And it's very graphic. It is extremely vivid. You have said that you believe terrorism, Jeff, is a legitimate political tool. You like the idea of being a terrorist, but you just don't want to be arrested. And so this game does everything that a terrorist can do, but you don't get arrested. What about killing people?
Well, what do you mean, what about killing people? I mean, you're not killing people.
No, but I mean in real life, if you've got no problem with terrorism, have you got a problem with killing people?
Mr. Henry, that's a trick. No, I don't have a problem with killing people. I mean, I am not a person who is comfortable with blood, but that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people. You need to understand something. There's a difference. I do have phobias like we all do, but I would be happy to kill people, but I do have, and I'm saying that, I know that your audience would take exception to that. I'm saying as a pure terrorist, if I was a pure terrorist, that I would, but I don't want to get arrested.
But if you weren't going to get arrested, do you have a problem with killing people?
If I wasn't going to get arrested, then it wouldn't be against the law, and I wouldn't have to do it, would I?
But do you have a problem with killing people?
I just said to you, if I admire terrorism as a political tool, no, I don't. But the Call of Duty 4 is superior to terrorism that we know about because it's virtual, and yet you still create terror. Okay?
So, well, what is this thing about you not wanting... You have a phobia against blood?
I know what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to discredit me in the gaming world. Because
no, I'm not trying to discredit anything. You said that you admire terrorism as a...
I have what is called hemophobia, which is a fear of massive amounts of blood. That, however, that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people.
So you'd kill people if they didn't bleed?
You know, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit me in the gaming world, that's fine.
No, but I think I'm being logical. You would kill people if they didn't bleed.
I have no fear of killing people, and if you saw me in Call of Duty 4, you'd see that I am relentless and ruthless. I slaughter everybody in the airport. I slaughter them and slaughter them. I keep on slaughtering them. I got no fear, and if you saw me, you'd be terrorized by it, okay?
But you won't do it in real life because you don't want to get arrested, and you're afraid of blood.
I'm not afraid of it. I have a problem with it. And I'll tell you one other thing. You can say all you want about whether you think I'm, you know, afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. This is a way better way of terrorism. Because you can terrorize. A kid comes over to your house on a Saturday morning. He gets terrorized. Within 5 minutes, he's out the door, okay? And you can terrorize at a... Like I say, if my girlfriend was buying a cage for her cat at a pet store, and I terrorized the people in the pet store just by saying that I'd slaughtered, you know, all these people in Russia. So these are things that you don't think about and your audience doesn't think about. These are mind images that are very, very real and are placed into the mind of the people that you're around.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what? I mean, you know, you go, oh, yeah, okay.
No, I find your excuses and your explanations to be a little bit bizarre, but let's go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Charleston, South Carolina. Michael, you're on with Jeff Dowder here as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I got a question for you.
I'm good.
If you can't differentiate between reality and a gaming world, how can you have a valid opinion? You have to realize that.
I can differentiate.
There's a reset button. In the real world where everybody else lives, there's no reset button. You can play whatever video game you want, but at the end of the day, when you're playing video games, there's a reset button. You can pretend
What's
to be a
terrorist. What's the point of terrorism? What's the point of terrorism?
Plumber. You can pretend to be a dragon in the third level of whatever universe you decide to create in a video game. But so the rest of us, the 9-to-5 working every day, people that aren't gamers, as you'd call them, no, the people that actually run this country, that make this country work and make it great, and give you the freedom to have the day off to play video games all day, we can differentiate between when we're playing video games and when we're associating with real, actual people.
If you were terrorized, though, by Call of Duty,
you
would be terrorized. You'd be terrorized by it.
I could sit in your living room on a Saturday afternoon and watch your television and watch you pretend to kill people on your TV, and that's just... That's silly. That's not terrorism.
No. That's what I'm saying about this game. Yeah, but you don't understand about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That's why I'm saying it's a step above. It's a step up. If you've seen the graphics.
A game.
You can say it. Yeah. Hey, you want to know something, man? Life is just life.
Well, aren't real? That's just a game, man.
No, I mean, yeah, and you know what I could also say? Your life is just your life. I could dismiss
yeah,
that.
It's just
you know,
my life.
You're
right.
You know that your life is, you know your life's got more involved than just me saying it's your life. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm saying to you that in Modern Warfare 2, you would be terrorized if you came over to my house like
and I'd love to
any Saturday
sit
morning.
On your couch on a Saturday and watch you play your silly video
game. Really? Really?
Yes,
you'd like
great.
To be, you'd want to be terrorized.
How do you know that this man would be terrorized?
Well,
there's no way you could possibly terrorize me watching your television. I'm sorry. That's
no,
what
you're not
you're
just
going to play a Friday the 13th movie and scare me with it. It's just on the TV. It's not
no,
real,
no,
man.
Different. It's different,
it's
man.
Real.
I am operating Friday the 13th is different because that's a film, man. Friday the 13th is different. It's a movie. I'm talking about an interactive game where I'm terrorizing
game.
You. I'm slaughtering. Oh, really? Okay.
Man. huge difference.
Let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you just one question, then. Okay, let me ask you one question, man. So you'd be okay with seeing people get slaughtered before your eyes? Okay, yeah, sure.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah, he is. He's saying he's cool with that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. All right, thank you, sir. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder on Modern Warfare 2 and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Jeff Dowder, who is a gamer from Temple City, California, as we talk about a very controversial new video game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It is known colloquially among gamers as Call of Duty 4. The reason why we're bringing this up, and I would suggest if you don't know the game, you can go to YouTube. There's a very graphic sequence from the game. We played the audio from it. And when I say graphic, it's appalling, really. These are some terrorists, Russian terrorists, allegedly, who walk into an airport and cut down everybody in sight with these automatic weapons. It's graphic in the sense that you see people trying to get up, and they're killed as they try to get up. I mean, it's every kind of nightmare one can imagine in a scene like that. And, Mr. Dowder, you've said some things here that, to say that they're controversial, you say that you admire terrorism as a political tool. You say that you admire terrorists using it, and yet you don't want to go out and kill people or to be arrested. You would rather do this through this video game, which you say can terrorize people equally.
Come over to my house on a Saturday. My sister's getting her ears pierced on Saturday about 10 o'clock. You come over, sit down, and watch as I go to work. I mean, I do some serious chopping. My gaming tag is Audie Murphy, and I'm known in game rooms just about everywhere. People know that I'm serious, and I go in and I do some serious chopping. And for people to laugh at me and say that you're not living in the real world, you'll be terrorized. You played the clip, and you said that it was disturbing. Okay.
I would think that's a long way from being terrorized.
Well, now you're just qualifying it, and you're playing a semantical game. You said that it was disturbing, so you were terrorized just by the clip that you saw. If you saw me, I slaughter everything in sight. And when I say that I don't want to go to jail, okay, I don't want to go to jail. I don't even think terrorists want to go to jail. And the only reason why I don't want to go to jail, and I'll tell you very honestly, is because I've got a phobia about, going number two in front of other inmates. I mean, it sounds silly.
You don't want to go to jail because you don't want to go to bathroom in front of other inmates, but it has nothing to do with being incarcerated?
No, I don't care. I don't care about losing my freedom for the things that I believe in. And to the question of why I don't kill real people, I do have a fear of blood, but it's not because I don't want to kill people. In the game, Call of Duty 4, there's a lot of blood, and I suck it up. And there are times when I am getting faint, and where I do feel like I'm going to throw up or faint. But I go through it, and I go through it.
Well, if you go through it in the game, why not go through it in real life?
The only difference is the smell. There's no smell of, they don't have any smell-o-vision or anything on Call of Duty, but the fact is,
so you'd go out and you'd kill human beings if you didn't have a fear of blood and if you did not have a fear of going to the bathroom in front of other inmates. Is this what you're saying?
Again, you are trying to discredit me in the eyes of other gamers. I said to you that this is a terrorist. Terrorism is a legitimate political tool.
No, I'm not trying to. I'm using your words. I'm repeating your words back to you. That terrorism is a legitimate political tool, as you just said. That killing people, I assume, is a legitimate political tool.
Yeah, but you didn't remember the thing that I said about 20 minutes ago, which makes it all make sense. And that is, this game, Call of Duty, is a way more superior way of terrorizing somebody than to go in and actually do it. But all I can tell you is, and the guy that was on the phone the last time, go ahead, man. I dare you to come over to my house and watch me go to work in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
We'll be terrorized.
You will. Yes, you will. And you can laugh about it, but yeah, you'll be fully terrorized.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Jeff Dowder here about Call of Duty 4, which is a graphic game to the point where he says people who watch other people play it will be terrorized. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I'm sorry, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Phil, I think it's actually, I think it's a bit ridiculous to be claiming that some sort of game is some sort of reality. To be under the assumption that...
Yeah, no, I already went through this with the other guy. What didn't you hear, man? It's total reality.
Well, it's total reality.
I just went through this with that guy from South Carolina. This dude from South Carolina had a better question than you, and you're in Boston.
I can only tell you that
most of the people that have watched me play this game, you know, are terrorized.
It doesn't necessarily matter where you're at.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and tell me, what is that again, man, about how it's just a game? Because I already went through
the... Well, the guy's asking the question on his own. Let him ask.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's your question? What's your question?
It's not really a question. It's more of a statement than anything, and I think it's a reality.
That you heard the other guy make. Yeah, go ahead.
Will you let this guy talk, please?
I think the reality of it is that I have no problem against gamers. I have no problem against any game whatsoever. When you say that,
well, that's nice to know.
I'm sorry. When you say that I'm going to come over and I'm going to sit in your basement and I'm going to watch you play a game, like literally a game.
Right, man. Like I said to the other guy, man. It's very realistic.
It doesn't matter.
All right, okay. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Aaron. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Aaron, in Merced, California, on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Fine.
Good. I just want to say that the scene in Call of Duty, I have the game myself. I'm an avid gamer. Then you know what I'm talking about. Well, it's a fairy tale. It's a scene in the game to portray how terrible it is, and it's a story mechanism. It's not to portray terrorists and to be a terrorist. It's just to say that you can be in the shoes of a terrorist.
You can be in the shoes of a terrorist and play that game.
It shows you it's such a realistic game, and it's so violent. And that scene is a very violent scene. I was blown away when I first played it, and I can't imagine that happening in real life. And it's like it can happen in real life because in the game
you can imagine what it's like to go in and slaughter. You could go and slaughter a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. It's very realistic.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's not real. It's a fantasy.
Okay, let me ask you something, man. You do a lot of gaming? You do regular fests and stuff like that? Because I do at my house, all right?
I'm in the middle of a game right now. I'm playing online.
Okay. If you invite a friend over on, say, Saturday and have him sit down next to you, you're telling me he wouldn't be terrorized?
What's going to terrorize the guy?
No, man, I'm asking this guy because
he's going to be like, you know, like, wow, this is... pretty crazy stuff. If this would really happen, that would be unbelievable. I mean, it's pretty scary.
Well, how good are you, man? Because if you're good enough, I mean, I'm good. If you're good enough, good. You would be able to terrorize him.
How are you going to terrorize the guy, man, if he knows that you're playing a game?
Because he's looking at how ruthless you are and butchering everybody up. Ain't that right?
No.
Man,
Aaron.
What? Well, if you're online right now, are you in a room right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guarantee whoever you're playing, you can terrorize them to the point where they, I mean, I don't want them to call the cops on you or anything, and they couldn't because you would be in violation of no law, but they would definitely.
Nobody is terrorized by this.
Feel like there is a threat to their city.
Story mechanism is like a book or a movie that deals with terrorism.
You, Yeah, but if you do it good enough.
It's a thinking tool.
Okay, dude, I don't mean anything by this, man, but what if I were to tell you that you sound terrorized just talking to me right now?
I'm not terrorized. I'm playing my game.
Okay, I mean, fine, but, you know, all I'm saying is if you play the game well enough, people will feel terrorized to the point where they feel there is some sort of a threat to their, you know, I don't know, county or state.
Oh, come on, man. Are you telling me some cat's going to go out of a gaming room and call the cops?
I said that they're not going to call the
cops. This guy, I don't know where you got this guy, but...
No, man, I'm telling you, I got Modern Warfare 2 today, man. I've been playing it all day, and I terrorized the hell out of everybody, so you guys know what you're talking about.
I waited 3 hours to get this game, and...
Yeah. Well, let me ask you that, Aaron, this is Phil. Aaron, this is Phil. Is it a good game? Are you enjoying yourself? Prompting you to want to go out?
This game is amazing, and it's amazing because of the fact of it's so realistic. Because
I see.
It shows you what can happen in the real world. If this would really happen in the world, it shows there's a scene.
What are you asking this guy? This is capital. What I've been saying the whole hour, man, and you're listening to him?
He's telling me something that is rooted in reality. He's saying it shows you what possibly could happen. It gives you a sense of what happens, but it doesn't. It is not actual terrorism, Jeff.
It's just like if you watch a movie that just gives you a feeling. It's not going to terrorize you. You're not going to go home and sleep over it.
You're not in the movie in this game. You're in the game. You just chopped up little kids. I've played that game, man. Guys are getting up. And so a lot of times I'll stand over them, and I'll just keep firing bullets into them until, like, it severs, you know, until it severs the torso.
It's just for fun.
Yeah, all right. Hey, listen, thank you for your call, man. It's good to get another review of that. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Stephen on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff,
I don't think you're giving me enough. You're not giving me enough credit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey. Does this guy still live with his mother? Does he have anything better to do at this time?
Oh, I get that from a lot of people. I'm a competitive gamer. I win cash prizes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah. So that's making money.
Do you live at home, though?
Yeah, so, I live at home. Why did you think I live at home?
Because you said something about your sister going out to get her ears pierced. Your sister's going to go get her ears pierced.
Who thinks in this day and age after 9/11 that terrorism is respectful or a useful tool? Are you kidding me? You're the You're a tool.
I'm saying I'm a tool. If I go into an airport and start slaughtering people, who's the tool? Okay? And I'm saying my sister's getting her ears pierced at 10 on Saturday morning, okay? You come over to my house and watch me start slaughtering people.
How would you like if I came over to your house and started slaughtering your family? I mean, how would you feel about that? Is that a useful tool?
What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? I'm talking about going to an airport and chopping people up.
In a game.
Yeah. Okay. So this guy just said he wants to come to my house, and that means he's going to get arrested and maybe killed. What would that do? I'm doing terrorism where you don't get arrested and you don't get killed.
How can you even use terrorism as a useful word as an American here after what's happened in 9/11? How is that useful to you or anyone else?
Got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do.
Are you an
American? You got to do what you got to do. Huh?
Are you an American?
I think so, yeah. Are you?
If you're an American,
are you?
I'm very much an American. But I'll tell you, if you're an American, you're not using terrorism as a good word, buddy.
What happens if I get a kid over to my house who's a Muslim and I terrorize him? Okay, are you saying that's not good?
No, that's not good.
Why not? I'm an American.
Did you get picked on when you were a kid or something? I mean,
no, man. I asked a pretty good question. If I terrorized a Muslim with Call of Duty 4, which I could do easily,
These guys have been thinking what they're doing is right for 1,000 years. They think they're going to get.
I'm not talking about them, man. I'm saying using American style terrorism.
You just said you terrorize Muslims. Well,
yeah,
you know what?
Using Call of Duty.
Excuse me.
Now you say I am terrorizing them. So you don't even know what you're
talking
about.
You're going to terrorize them. Fighting this war for years, they'll keep fighting for more. You think your philosophy is going to change anything? That's ridiculous, dude.
What about, man?
You need a life.
You said that I'm terrorizing a Muslim using a gaming system. That's American, and that's an American way of doing it.
You think that's
using
work?
A gaming?
You just said it would, because you were saying, "Oh man, you're going to be terrorizing a Muslim. What's that about?"
No,
so
you
admit that it will work.
You think you are?
I didn't say paralyzed.
Trust me, you're not. Your language, buddy.
No, dude, you just admitted to it, so, you know, I sunk that at the buzzer.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877, thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Hold the line here, Jeff. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder as he talks about Call of Duty 4, which is a game. It's a violent game. It's a graphically violent game. But Mr. Dowder feels it's so graphically violent that it makes you a terrorist when you play it, and anybody watching you play it is terrorized. And hence, it's very effective. You don't get arrested and you don't kill anybody. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Now, you mentioned I'm on with Jeff Dowder, final few minutes with your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL. And we have Jeff Dowder on the line with us as we talk about Call of Duty 4, or as it is known, officially, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, a graphic, violent game that shows an incident of terrorism in an airport. Now, you mentioned putting an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah, I put an ad out on Craigslist because I wanted somebody who was really, really a good, you know, a really proficient at Call of Duty 4, and I got a Muslim kid, and his game tag was, Allahu Akbar, and mine was Audie Murphy, so I'm thinking it's on, you know. So anyway, so I email his kid, he's, you know, and I terrorized him all over the place. Okay, now, is that bad? On account of I'm terrorizing him for America. Okay.
That doesn't make any difference if he's Muslim or not. The question, Jeff, is can you honestly terrorize somebody with a game? And you've heard people say over and over and over again, it's a game. How can you terrorize somebody with a game?
And I've answered the question by saying it is so realistic. The graphics are so realistic. And when you see me play it, I'm butchering everybody inside. I'm machine gunning. I told you that I stand over people and I empty the magazine into them until it severs, you know, until it severs them. Okay, Mr. Henry?
So what, man? It's a video machine gun you're holding. It's not a real one.
But the sheer of what I'm doing. Forget about the guy that I'm shooting is fake. It's me. What am I doing? I'm doing it so viciously and in a terrorism way. That's the part that I'm saying.
So, all right, I'm sitting there with you Saturday morning. Your sister's getting her ears pierced. Your mom took her to the mall, so we have the house to ourselves.
Well, I'm not talking about like some gay hookup.
I understand that. Okay, so we're at your house.
Yeah, and I'm playing. You're sitting on the couch, okay? You're going to see me in a way that you never imagined that I would be. And I'm going through an airport and slaughtering people. You go right into the men's room and kick open the stall door, and there's a guy, you know, sitting there, you know, having a, you know, getting one done, and you just chop him up, next stall, and go down. You go to the laser. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
And this is coming from a guy that would be arrested were it not for the fact that you don't want to have a bowel movement in front of other inmates.
Well, you know, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit my reputation in the gaming world, I mean, it doesn't hurt me.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
Morning, Phil. How's it going?
Good morning.
I have one
good,
question
sir.
For you there, Jeff. Have you ever held a real weapon, fired a real weapon other than your gamepad? Because until then, you can't say what you're going to do. Okay?
That is a real weapon when you see me use it.
It's a game pad. Come on, man. I was in the military. I've done it.
Yeah. I know the feeling. You don't know nothing until you can actually hold a weapon in your hand, point it at a person, and pull that trigger. Other than that, I don't want to hear a word from you.
Hey,
it's
man.
It's a game, dude.
No, if the effect is that it terrorizes a guy, okay, tell me about
you
it.
You ain't going to terrorize me with the game. I'll terrorize you with a weapon to your head. What are you going to do?
Oh, really?
Will I get arrested?
Look at that.
Probably not. You're going to get caught.
You're telling me that if you sat next to me at my house and I'm cutting people up left and right, and you're going, I'm really bored. I don't think so.
You don't know nothing until you can hold a weapon in your hand. Hey, thanks, Phil. This guy here is.
Fine, man. But how many people have you cut? How many people have you killed? Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot.
I can't count that.
All right, thank you. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back with news on that guy that got tasered 6 times in the Vatican and aliens and everything else.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Common let the members of Congress know that all of the messages that came out in August.
The president campaigned repeatedly up there. Joe Biden went up there repeatedly.
Mr. President, the New York Times is looking at you at your dual role as investor and advocate.
Well, I think it's a very good night tonight for the party here in Virginia, and certainly.
Where's my retarded baby?
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL every night here until 1 o'clock at the El Pacifico at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. As we go through the looking glass like Alice in Wonderland of talk radio and reality in general. Joining me this hour will be Harvey Wireman. He's an attorney at law, retired. He's a former attorney for the ACLU. He's a retired United States Marine. And by that, I mean he's a World War II veteran. He's going to be talking with us, though, not about any of that, actually. Well, he'll be talking in his capacity as an attorney. We're going to be discussing tasers, the use of tasers by cops, particularly the use of tasers by cops against the elderly, although we have two taser stories recently, one in Minneapolis, the tasing of an 18-year-old, and another story in Alaska, the tasing of an 81-year-old man. And when was this? This was last week, a traffic stop in Fairbanks, Alaska, last week. Let me tell you first, though, that you can contact us here on the show tonight at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And you can watch live streaming video of our show every night on our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as listen to the live streaming audio if you're not near any one of our affiliates. And the video is on demand the next day, so you can watch it the next day if you'd like. You can also download the audio to our show the next day. And we have all kinds of archives over there. We've got a list of great affiliates, so it's a great place to go, philhendryshow.com. And we're also at twitter.com/philhendryshow. The stories here, and there was the story, of course, that we got into a very interesting discussion on the show, I thought, a few weeks ago about the 72-year-old lady who was tasered in Texas, which was, you know, unfortunate, but nonetheless it happened, and that was the extent of that. Let me get Harvey Wireman on the line here from San Marino, California. Harvey, a retired attorney, and Harvey, good to speak with you this evening.
Well, I'm very grateful that you had me on this topic, Phil. Thank you.
And Harvey, you've worked both sides of the street. You were a DA at one time and a defense attorney, correct?
Well, a long time ago, I worked for the district attorney's office in Chicago before I came to California. Now I'm retired now, but I do consulting and I do some pro bono work.
And you were in the Marines?
Yes, I was. I was a born killer.
Okay.
As they say.
All right. So you've done it all, and I wanted to talk to you about this tasering. First of all, let's talk about this one story here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is a man, an 18-year-old man, backed by video footage. A Minneapolis man is now claiming that police used a taser against him after he surrendered and put his hands on the hood of a squad car. And his name is Rolando Demetrio Ruiz. He's filed a notice of claim alleging civil rights and other violations in the April 30th incident. Here is a dash cam audio of that tasing.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Wow.
It's pretty graphic.
Wow, that's brutal to hear, isn't it?
Well, it's not a pleasant thing to have done to you, but that's unfortunately the byproduct of the use of those things.
And now we have last week an 81-year-old, we don't have audio on this, and maybe I'm grateful for that. An 81-year-old man was tasered during a traffic stop last week. It's the second time since 1998 that police have had to make a show of force during a traffic stop to arrest Glenn M. Wilcox, a Fairbanks-based Episcopalian priest and real estate agent. Court documents allege that officers with Ellison Air Force Base, these were Air Force police, military police for the Air Force, the 354th Security Forces Squadron pulled Wilcox over just after 1 p.m. Wednesday for going 11 miles over the speed limit on the Richardson Highway, and they used the taser. And then there's the story of this lady in Texas, and we'll run this one more time for people who may not know what we're talking about. This woman in Texas who was tased back in the spring when she refused to meet the demands of this police officer.
Put your hands behind your back.
I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be tased. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Taser, get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands on your back. Put your hands on your back. You're going to be tased again. Hey, 17, I've got one tase. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. Get your hands behind your back.
So that I guess we pretty much the extent of that, Harvey. So those are just three distinct taser cases, and I know you've worked a couple of them, and I wanted to get your feelings on this, because this is, in the case of this 18-year-old in Minneapolis, he wants to bring a claim against the police, and this woman in Texas also sued, although I don't think she collected quite as much as she thought she would. What is your feeling on the, on particularly the elderly, and this 81-year-old man, this 72-year-old man, the use of this kind of force against those people?
Well, yeah, I'm glad, first of all, Phil, that you differentiated between the young man in Minneapolis and the case of that young man. I think the police have an awful lot to answer for. Here's a young man. He's, if I got you right, he's Hispanic, correct?
The name does seem to indicate that, yeah.
All right. He's a man of color. He's a minority, and the police in some cities, and I'd have to look into Minneapolis, but I'm pretty sure in Minneapolis they've got a spotty record at best dealing with the people of color, particularly native people in that part of the country. And so I think the Minneapolis police is going to have some explaining to do. Now, let's move on to the other two cases, particularly the lady in Texas and this man in Fairbanks, Alaska. I know, as an attorney, and I don't think a lot of your listeners would disagree, that people reach a certain age in our society, and there is no real expectation on the part of that individual, nor is there any expectation on the part of the prosecutor, that they're going to be doing any real jail time for any offense that they've committed. More often than not, the elderly in our society will commit some kind of a felony, and that is to say a serious crime, and are generally given a probation, a house arrest, or some other consideration based upon their age. I don't think it's right, personally. I think that every human being in our society, if they are found guilty, should definitely be the recipient of what the law demands. When I hear that woman being tased, I know what she's thinking. I know what all of the senior citizens in our country think. Well, I'm not really going to go to jail. I'm not really going to get a ticket because they're going to feel sorry for me because I'm old. And it is in that instant when I think the police officer, the arresting officer, should have some latitude in terms of how he deals with her, because he knows, you know, I know, all of your listeners know, she's never going to see any real jail time. And the latitude there that I think the arresting officer was correct in seizing was to, give her a taste of the trouble that she put him through, and the trouble she's going to put the courts through.
Well, what are you saying, that it was all right for him to taser?
First of all, I listened to that tape very carefully. It's very questionable whether she was really suffering or whether she was play acting for the benefit of the tape recorder, because everybody knows that the police have these recording devices. Very, very suspicious that that old woman was in any pain at all. Secondly, if she was in pain, I don't see anything wrong with a police officer knowing that they're going to give her a slap on the wrist and let her go home with her daughter or whoever it is she lives with. And meanwhile, the rest of us in society have got to, if you'll pardon my French, have got to suck on it. At that moment, I think that officer made the right decision, knowing she was going to get up.
Well, wait. Well, Harvey, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Go ahead.
That's not his job to dish out punishment. He's an arresting officer.
No, I know it's not his job. What I'm saying is, I think it's perfectly understandable that if this old lady or some old man who knows that they're not going to go to jail for anything, if a police officer lets the taser go on them, and as they say in the police business, and they ride the lightning or they do the electric slide or however you want to put it, or take a walk down to Electric Avenue, you know, the Billy, I forget the guy's
Billy Ocean?
Yeah, the Billy Olson song.
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean. Let's go down to Electric Avenue. Well, that's what a police officer says when he decides that he's had enough of some old woman who is going to walk scot-free.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. My question is, that is not his job. His job as a police officer is to write the citation, but not to dole out punishment.
No, that's not necessarily true. You can, as a police officer, be given the latitude that the old woman has given you enough guff, and you know that you've wasted all kinds of paperwork, and you're going to give her a taste of what she's been giving you. What he gave her is no worse than what she was giving him. No worse at all. In fact, he probably had it worse.
Well, come on. She was talking rude to him. She was not following orders.
Yeah, she was not following what the officer was directing her to do. And at that moment, there is in the law books, there's something called enforcement rage.
No, wait. You're going
to... Hold on for a minute. Are you the lawyer?
No, I'm not the lawyer.
Well, let me talk. When you push a cop so far, and just the mere existence of an old lady getting out of a car in a traffic stop, that already has pushed that officer to the limit.
Why?
Because when he sees the old woman, he knows she will not have to do any punishment at all. So that already provokes our police officers beyond what anything they should be allowed to be provoked to. So the provocation is on the part of that old woman looking at him, and he has to realize that she's not going to be punished. The hand goes to the taser, and she is basically giving him carte blanche to issue summary punishment because she opened her mouth. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. So the existence of an elderly person in a traffic stop is already provoking the officer.
Yes.
Why?
I just got done telling you because of the fact...
Because he knows that they're not going to be punished because they're old.
Yes. You remember the guy in Santa Monica, the old man that killed 8 people at the farmer's market because his foot stuck to the throttle? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what do you think? They slapped him on the wrist and they sent him home with his daughter or something. 8 people dead, and he goes home to have to sit in an easy boy and watch bowling. Well, the same thing is true of that old woman, and when that officer took a look at what was waiting for him in that car, he knew that there was no judge that was going to give him any peace. He had to do it himself, then.
All right, we're going to come back and discuss this a little bit more. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, about the tasering incidents. What's this, bud?
You want to see this?
Harvey wrote it, bottom line, police officers should taser the elderly, and I think your listeners would agree that it's a policy that every station in the country should put into place. Really? All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from Harvey Wireman and these taserings going on around the country by police officers of the elderly. Most recently, last week, an 81-year-old man in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, as we talk about the police tasering of a couple of elderly people. You know the one, the 72-year-old woman in Texas. Last week in Fairbanks, Alaska, police officers with the Air Force police, military police attached to the Air Force at Eielson Air Base, part of the 354 security forces, pulled over a car, I guess, that was either on Air Force property or was within their jurisdiction somehow, and tasered an 81-year-old man. And I want to get back to you, Harvey, with your comments, and then we have phone calls to take. I want to know the legal justification for a police officer tasering someone who simply because they're elderly.
They're not tasering them because they're elderly. They're not doing that.
Well, that's, you said as soon as he looks and sees an elderly person.
When a police officer sees... Let me explain something to you. When a police officer sees an old lady sitting in a car, he's already on guard, because if she gives him any lip, he knows he's going to have to arrest her, otherwise cite her, and she's not going to get punished. Why? Because she's old, and they don't send old people to jail. So he has been put in an untenably provocative situation by the system. And the police officers that I've defended, and keep in mind, I work for the ACLU, so I'm not what you'd call a conservative, but I do believe, and let me tell you something. I said to the judge, you put a police officer in a situation of looking at some old lady, that taser's halfway out of its holster.
Why? Because she's old?
I just told you, because the woman, by virtue of the fact that that old lady is sitting there staring at him, it's already pushing him. He knows that she's not going to get... And when you put a police officer in that situation, you better expect that you're taking a stroll down to Electric Avenue. And whether it's Billy Olson or Billy Ocean or Mary Kay or Olson or however you say it, that's where you're going.
So you can defend a police officer in front of a judge.
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
By saying that officer is already provoked because it's an old person and they're not going to go to jail.
That's right. And the police officer is already going to be thinking, well, then you want to know something? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of street justice going here.
Well, yeah, my hat's off to you if what you say is true.
What do you mean what I say is true?
Well, the fact that you were able to sell that to a jury or to a judge. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman this evening. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the tasering of the old woman. Our officers are trained to defuse situations with as less force as possible. It's totally off base to say that the officer had a right to tase a woman just because she is being belligerent, given the fact she did exit her vehicle and approach the officer. She is an elderly woman. The officer is probably half her age, physically stronger than her by far, and could have defused the situation either verbally or escorted the woman back to her vehicle by her arm and explained to her that she was overstepping her bounds. To just tase her, and for this gentleman lawyer say that he thinks it's okay for the officer to do such a thing, or to be within his rights to already be on his guard and ready to tase an elderly person just because he believes they're not going to get any punishment is way off base.
Well, you know something, what you didn't know about this case is that as soon as she got out of her car, sir, and I forget what's this man's name.
His name is Roy.
Roy, as soon as she got out of the car, her mouth was already going. So in other words, what she had in her mind was, I'm old, there's nothing he can do, and on top of that, I think I'll just keep gum flapping and really piss him off. That officer was provoked. And first off, I don't know if you're a police officer. He had no choice but to say, I got to get some street justice going on this old bag. Excuse my language. Because I know the judge is going to kiss her on both cheeks and pat her on the rear end and send her home with her son-in-law or whatever, whoever she's talked into letting her live with them. And that officer already knows that he's got no shot at seeing her, you know, sweated. So
what do you mean sweated, man? What are you going to sweat an old lady?
They're not putting her in jail. You know that as well as I do. And she knows it. That's why her mouth is going.
First off, she didn't get out of her car, I'm absolutely positive, thinking that, I'm not going to go to jail, so I'm going to let this guy have some crap.
You're absolutely positive?
Sir, I'm
79 years old. I'm 79 years old.
For you to think that's funny. For you to think that you can read this woman's mind and feed that to somebody and have them believe it.
These old people are getting away with murder.
Just because you have a law degree doesn't mean you can read people's minds
but I do know about motivation.
You have no idea what this woman was thinking, and you're way out of line.
I can assure you, sir, that old lady was thinking, look at this, I got this dumb, stupid cop right where I want him.
Oh, brother. All right, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls and Harvey Wireman.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey, what is this?
Yeah, this is the song I got
Bud Dickman?
Yeah, but this is a song called Electric Avenue. Now, this is a song, this is what the cops call chasing some old woman, you know. Yeah, you hear that?
I know this song, yeah. What has this got to do with tasing?
It's called Electric Avenue. And that's where you, that's what they call. But listen to this. See, right here. Look at this. Right here. Right down to Electric Avenue. You see that?
Is this a song that police listen to?
Yeah, they listen to this. This is the language that cops talk. And when I hear this song, I can see, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be, what do you call it, morbid, but I can see the old woman writhing on the asphalt because she wouldn't shut up.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, that's, I'm telling you the truth. Electric. There you go. So in other words, if you're an elderly woman and you thought you were going to give a cop lip and then take your groceries home and tell everybody how great you were, guess what? Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a song the police listen to.
A lot of cops have it in the radio car, yeah.
Well, I think that's sadistic. If I was the watch commander or whoever the guy is...
You weren't there. And
don't have the right to at least watch her dance a little bit. Guess what? Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a song the police listen to.
A lot of cops have it in the radio car, yeah.
Well, I think that's sadistic. If I was the watch commander or whoever the guy is, I wouldn't have them listening to that in their cars.
Well, I guess you're not the watch commander now, are you? So I guess that's something you don't get to, you don't get to talk about. But I can tell you that this is the, this is what our police officers are up against. When an old woman thinks that she's above the law and is going to provoke a cop to the point where he has no choice but to drop her.
877-876-PHIL. I would think that our police would have far more control and not take things quite so personally. Let's go over to Gus on the Phil Hendry Show. Gus, you're on with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, good evening, sir. My
comments... Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. My comments is this. First of all, They're supposed to protect the individual and let justice handle the matters. Nobody's supposed to take justice in their own hands. And secondly, we have a far better police force than what he is describing there. This gentleman there.
My name is Harvey Wireman, sir, and I'm an attorney, and I know our police are good, but let me ask you this. Who protects our police? When they see an old woman who is going to get away with cold-blooded murder, and they know that no one is going to... You're saying that they don't have the right to at least watch her dance a little bit.
Since you given what they're... cold-blooded murder, she didn't do anything. Yeah. She just had an alligator mouth and a mosquito body. That's what she did.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
She could have shot that police officer, and they still wouldn't have given her jail because she's old.
She didn't?
Well...
Yeah, and she's not...
How does she know that he wasn't going
to... Can we turn that off, please?
Go ahead, sir. If she wasn't on some kind of medication, how do you know if something else was wrong? How do you know you weren't there?
And that's a good point.
The officer didn't handle the situation. He just let it get out of control.
I thought he contained his temper. I thought he controlled his temper much better than I thought he would.
You can't lose your temper over somebody having a big mouth. Can you imagine how many people have a big mouth?
If somebody said to you, they don't agree with you,
they're not going to haze you, are they?
If someone said to you, go ahead and hit me with that baseball bat, you know sooner or later you're going to do that. That's what that old lady did.
How did she do that?
She did it by being pulled over and giving him lip. That's how she did it. You might as well have hit him with a bat.
Why? Because she's an old person?
Yes. Because she's not going to go to jail, and that officer is now facing the... Are you talking to somebody else?
All right.
No, I'm talking to you. First of all,
if a citizen would take
the charges to the grand jury and would get the prosecutor to follow through or get the federal prosecutor to follow through, if that had happened here, I would have done that. I would have gone down there and spoke out and said, that officer needs to be put
in line. I agree with Gus. I agree with Gus. You're not making any sense. Because would you turn that song off?
Why can't he play Electric Avenue? Because that's what the cops are up against.
I don't want to hear it because I can't think. The fact is that what Gus is saying is true. How can you justify a cop? The police officers are not trained to punish. The police officers...
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying that there were extenuating circumstances that forgive him for what he's doing.
Why don't you think like that guy that they caught with the bodies in his yard or something? How come somebody don't want to shoot him? Because they're going to have to protect him. Well, you're using that lady.
No. You know that guy's going to go to prison. You know that guy's going to ride the lightning. But I'm talking about an old lady. If they found 10 bodies in that lady's house, she would have walked. She would have walked, I guarantee.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, you're telling me I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm telling you. An old lady, they find 10. What about that old bag? You remember the old lady up in Sacramento? They found 10 bodies in her yard. Where's she?
Oh, she's cooling that over the minimum security.
You keep saying you're a lawyer.
Yes,
you must have been a traffic ticket lawyer because you probably lost every case in every traffic ticket you had.
There's no such thing as a traffic ticket lawyer. You just go. You just go in and pay your ticket.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to go to James here in Mississippi. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Very good, sir.
That Electric Avenue, though, that's a hell of a song.
Good. Yes, sir.
The attorney that you have on.
Actually, I've got, James, right.
Does he have a mother that's alive?
I'm 79 years old. 3 guesses. The first 2 don't count.
Answer the man's question respectfully.
No, sir. My mother died in 1958.
Okay. Now, I have a mother that's 92 years old. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. We're going to go over this thing easy. I'm 62. She's 30 years older than I. Now,
well, I'm 79, so I'm
you got me a couple.
Yeah. You ever heard this song, Electric Avenue?
The thing that
will you turn that off, please?
Mr. Wireman wanted me to play.
Turn it off, please. Thank you.
What I'm trying to say is,
that's a bad jam, though, isn't it?
I love
policemen, it. Policemen, officers, as you will call them, are supposed to have some type of training to distinguish angry person. Yes. Hold on.
Right.
An angry
from a dangerous person
from someone that's not going to do bodily harm or physical harm to them.
That's just
all right.
The old lady was going to do physical harm to the system. She was going to walk after speeding or whatever it was.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's not physical.
You know how many volts that taser gun has in it?
It's not going to hurt. You heard that old lady. She got up and started giving him lip. That's the part you didn't hear on the tape. She got down on the ground and started wailing, and then when she knew the tape was off, she got up and started calling him every name in the book.
You don't know that for a fact at all.
Attorney, that's been a couple of years ago.
Have you ever ridden the Lightning? Have you ridden the Lightning? No, you haven't.
I saw the tape. I saw the film.
But as a lawyer, I'm supposed to be tased.
For many
they
days.
Have to tase me.
If they tase you, if you got a bad heart problem, you might go into cardiac arrest.
That's what they tell you, so she can get your sympathy.
Yeah, but did she point a weapon? Did she point a weapon at that police officer?
Yes. She opened her fat mouth, and as an elderly person,
that's a weapon.
Because what she, yes, it is, because what she's doing is saying, ha ha, you can't send me to jail. And that is going to anger any police officer. That is justifiable. It's not justifiable, but it's a provocation, and all he can see is electricity in his mind. He can just see her bopping up and down off the asphalt, almost as if she's a... What do you call those deals? In a box, a top or something like that.
Now, wait a minute.
Well,
you're an attorney, right?
You are a lawyer, and I think this is ridiculous.
Attorney,
but you made a very, very good point there, James. I got to move on here. 877-876 Phil. Let's go to Mike. Mike is in Queens, New York. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. How are
you? What happened to the other caller?
Apparently doesn't appreciate that many times the police shoot the average citizen like criminals before they even have proven that they're criminals. And what that translates into in New York City is that sometimes policemen act like thugs more than the thugs themselves, because what right do you have to treat an average citizen like a criminal and to tase them or use a taser gun on them?
Well, you do in certain instances when they're old.
Wait a minute. Let me
when
start.
They're old.
They haven't been proven
when they're
to be
old
a criminal, and you train
the old lady's going to walk.
There's no reason to do that.
You're saying an old lady.
Like he's a criminal. You must treat the citizens like they're regular citizens. You cannot be thuggish. You cannot be thuggish. Thuggery is wrong. Have a good
day. And then he hung up. I've never had anybody hang up a phone on me that I wasn't able to get to them and get to them right away with dealing in multiplication. Electric Avenue. And I can tell you...
Will you knock it off with that song, bud? Get out of here with that.
Mr. Wireman ordered it special.
He ordered it special.
I called in before the show, and I said to Dickman, have that song ready, because I got a feeling I'm going to need it. And I have needed it. Because there's not one of these people listening to your program tonight, Mr. Hendry, that understands what I'm trying to say. Our police officers are being provoked beyond any reasonable constraint. When they see an elderly person in a car, they know that person, like your average mafioso, in the times before, in the way back machine,
Yeah, I know. The mafia used to walk.
Well, guess who's walking now? Old ladies who can look at the cop and go, I'm not going to get in jail. And so what does our officer think? With his blood at a boiling point, with his emotions out of control, with the sight of an automobile accident that he saw a half hour before dancing in his mind, with maybe a dead body dancing in his mind, all he can think of, ride the lightning, you hag. I'm sorry I have to put it that way, Phil.
But what are you addressing a jury now?
Maybe I am addressing a jury, because this is something we have to let people know. Old people need to be tased like everybody else until they get the message. Here comes the pain, just like everyone else. You're no different.
All right, 877-877-877-877-Phil, 877-876-Phil. Let's take a phone call here in North Carolina. Cal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Cal, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Sorry to take up so much time.
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well. Thank you. Yes, uh-huh.
Right. See, the more I listen to this thing, the more I learn about it. First of all, just listening to the conversation, I'm not on criminal statistics or anything, but listening to the side of the story portrayed by this lawyer indicates that 99% of the crime is perpetrated by old people rather than young people.
No, you're not listening very well. I didn't say that, sir. I just said that when an old person commits a crime, they do not get punished because they're old and the judge is afraid to see them rot in jail. So they get to walk out with their son or their daughter or the caretaker or whatever, whoever's, taking care of them.
Yeah. Well,
you're taking that to mean because a cop knows that it's okay to dish out justice.
I didn't say it was okay to dish out justice. I said that the officer's now being provoked.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's all in a matter of wearing that uniform. You're going to perceive reality somewhat differently from the person walking on the street. I'm sure that
exactly
cop perceives this old person as somewhat of a threat. But the average law-abiding citizen on the street does not perceive a 78-year-old lady as a threat to society. I mean,
but the average person on the street doesn't have to deal with that old lady the way a cop does. The cop's got to deal with it. And when it starts talking and yapping, the cop knows, well, I've told you the story. She goes in front of the judge, she walks, and she might have run over somebody, run them over and flattened them like a buttermilk pancake. And she walks the next day. The cop knows that, and he realizes this is the only chance anybody's going to get to punish her. I think I'll dish out a little bit of Electric Avenue. Yeah, well, you laugh if you want, sir. But
turn the music off. No wonder the guy's laughing. All right, sir, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-Phil. Thank you, sir. That was Cal. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman as we talk about the tasering of elderly people and Mr. Wireman's point of position being that because elderly people never go to jail for anything, that a cop is actually dishing out the only punishment they're going to get for their crime, and therefore it's okay.
No, wrong again. You blew it again. You blew it.
Well, I got to go to a commercial, okay?
You go ahead and go to the commercial. You blew it. You blew it.
In other words, what?
In other words, I already said he was provoked beyond honor.
877-876-Phil. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What?
What I said was, that ain't Electric Avenue. What is that?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
When you play that song, you know,
what?
It sounds like the cops enjoy using their tasers.
I never made that statement, Mr. Hendry.
When you play that song, Electric Avenue, by the singer, it sounds as if you're making the point that the police enjoy using their tasers. And I don't think that's the point that you want to make at all. Let's go over to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman and Phil Hendry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I had to actually turn the radio station off for a little while just to clear my head, because I look at this whole picture here, and I listen to what this gentleman is saying, and he's making a mockery out of the Constitution in the United States. You know, people have rights.
I'm an attorney, and I use the Constitution to justify,
regardless of whether he's an attorney or not,
the police who are up against it. The police
now,
are
Harry,
up against
had
it.
You had your chance to talk, but to justify the use of excessive force on any person, whether they're elderly or not,
excessive is.
There was a gentleman earlier that alluded to the fact that police officers are trained to use restraint and as less force as possible to restrain a situation.
Yes,
now,
well, that's not exactly true.
And I will testify to that as a former military policeman that is certainly the case. Now,
I was a Marine. You know, I was a Marine, and I ran up against you guys in the shore patrol. And let me tell you, you guys used excessive force. Don't give me that baloney. You guys beat the hell out of a lot of Marines down in Tijuana. You think that's funny? I saw it happen, my friend. I was a military police officer. That's a laugh.
Harvey. You know what? Don't disrespect the guy. Nobody's disrespecting you.
The fact that you can trounce on the Constitution and just use excessive force whenever you deem a police officer feels insulted or for some reason in your mind has some right to be able to tase any person, whether they're elderly or not, is just
right, can I ask you a question?
It's to a point now where you have police officers who are engaging in high-speed pursuits, and actually people are being killed. Because
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this.
Officers that have gone
beyond due process and caution.
You have a limitation and you have a responsibility to the public.
I just want to be clear. You used to beat up jarheads down at Tijuana, and that makes you a lawyer. Is that it? I just want to be clear.
He didn't say that at all.
No,
he never said that at all. He said it was a military police officer.
He used to take the stick to a. They love to beat up these...
Phil Hendry.
It's Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you've had a very distinguished career as a pilot. Going into photography, it sounds to me like suddenly, your interest is all I'm trying to.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Never with capital letters have a stripper pole in this house.
27 feet. So we're seeing a 27-foot drop.
So we just wanted to ask you...
Excuse me, this is a senator-only elevator.
I'm not satisfied. The solution that he found...
You know how many people like guns and dip?
You blow it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we take you on an Alice in Wonderland trip through the old looking glass, baby. Media, news, issues, the way you think of things, the way you don't think of things. Shutter Island is number one at the box office again. Woo! I guess. Plus, Pelosi says the health care bill is bipartisan, even though the Republicans won't vote for it, or didn't vote for it, or wouldn't vote for it, or will never, ever, ever vote for it. They had a big impact on it nonetheless. So in her mind, and probably it's not a bad estimation, good for you, Nancy, that it is bipartisan to a degree. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have a story here that we're going to tell you a little bit about. We're also going to be talking with a man who has run up against the same thing in taking photographs in local public places, particularly in malls. His name is Art Griego. He's going to join us. He's a retired airline pilot. But in Sunderland, England, bizarre story. A father was told he was not allowed to take pictures of his four-year-old son. This is his own four-year-old son. And he was told, you are not allowed to take pictures of this child at this Sunderland shopping center because of fears he could be a pedophile. All right, now, it's your kid's your kid, right? Nonetheless, Kevin Schuen, who lives in Kent, was challenged by a security guard at the Bridges Shopping Center after photographing his son, Ben, on a child's train ride. He was asked if he could prove Ben was his son, and he was later quizzed by a police officer who was called to the center. Now, bosses at the shopping center have apologized to this man for the misunderstanding, but nonetheless, it was quite a, I'm sure, a bizarre and traumatic incident for the father. Mr. Schuen, he's 48 years of age, said he and his son had visited the shopping center after Ben was given money from his grandfather to buy a toy. His wife had suggested taking a picture of the son on the mobile phone camera after the train-obsessed youngster boarded the ride. The security guard then approached and told him it was against the center's policy. It was against the center's policy, and he could be a pedophile. It was the father. Mr. Schuen said that then the security guard said there was no way of, he said there was no way that I could prove that what I was doing was innocent because I couldn't actually prove that I was his father. I told him Ben was my own son and that he was blowing everything out of proportion. 5 or 10 minutes later, a police officer approached, asked for my name and address. I raised my voice as I was getting a little annoyed by this stage, and he threatened to arrest me for a breach of the peace, as they say in jolly old England. I could have understood if I'd been observed hanging about, but I had walked up with my wife and with my son. In a statement, the Bridges said safety was taken very seriously at all of its shopping centers. Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you're a photographer. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, you know something. Unfortunately, Phil, yes, I have. And it happens, obviously not just in Great Britain. It happens here in the United States. I take pictures in shopping malls. I take pictures on beaches. I take pictures on sidewalks. You would be surprised at the number of police and the number of security guards. And these security guards, Phil, I know they do very good work and they're very hard workers. But I think some of these security guards think that they are, probably think they're the French Connection, Popeye Doyle or something.
They imagine themselves to be cops, huh?
Oh, yeah, they do. They imagine themselves to be cops. Say, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? What's with all that camera equipment?
And all right, now you go places with, you have a lot of pictures of your children?
I have a lot of pictures of kids, yeah. And I'll go to malls and take the pictures. I'll go to, as I said, any place where you've got a nice all-American setting, where you have a good background, where you've got good lighting, although I do have some pretty sophisticated equipment.
Well, how many kids have you got?
How many kids? I didn't hear you, Phil.
How many children do you have, and do you say to cop or do you say to the security officers?
I don't have any kids. I don't have any children of my own.
Well, you don't have any kids of your own?
No. But I do take pictures of kids, and that's what I was talking to you about this man, this gentleman in England.
So you're not taking pictures of? So you're taking pictures of just kids? Are they nephews?
No, I don't have any nephews. I don't have any nieces or anything.
Do you have stepkids?
No. No, my interest is simply in children and photographing them. The reason, Phil, is because they are children don't pose. They're very natural. They're very candid. Whereas adults are extremely self-conscious, kids are not. And I get great pictures, and I've got volumes of books, photo albums.
I guess the thing that I'm talking to you about here, Art, is that you you're not exactly like this father.
In the sense that was not my, that he's a father.
Yeah, because this is a guy that had to explain to the security guard that he was the father of this little boy that he was photographing.
Well, but it's really not that much different. They'll come up to me and they'll tell me, you got to leave the mall. And I'll say, why? I'm taking pictures here. They'll say, you know, are they your kids? And I said, well, in a sense, they are my kids. I have photo albums that go back 5, 6, 7 years of kids.
And let me ask you something, because maybe I didn't understand. You take pictures of children that are not yours?
No, they're not my kids by blood, no, but they are my kids. When he said, are you taking pictures of your kids? I said, yes. He said, well, you took pictures of a black kid, and then I saw you take pictures of I guess he said Chinese, he should have said Asian. And I told him, I said, that's the wrong way to refer to a young Asian child. You just said that was a Chinese child. And he tried to blow it off like it wasn't a big thing. So I took down his name and his badge number. And
No, but before you get to that, he asked you, were they your kids?
Yeah, he asked me if they were my kids. I said, yes.
And but they're not your kids.
No, they're not my blood kids, but in a way they are my kids.
But for the purposes of that security guard...
Well, for the purposes of what? A security guard that calls an Asian child a little Chinese kid? That your purpose? He's got no purpose in life. That kid, that's a guy that is one rubber bullet shy of being out on the street picking up rappers or something, you know. And so he said to me, I saw you taking pictures of a black kid, a Chinese kid, and then pictures of that Polish, whatever that is. And I said, how do you know he's Polish? So I was very upset. And
no, but what the officer was saying to you, Art, if you just listen to me, was he didn't believe that they were your kids because they were of three different racial types.
Okay.
So we're not talking about your blood children, are we?
No, we're not.
That's what he was asking. Now, you're out at the mall taking pictures of these children. Are they the children of friends?
Let me explain something, Phil, because I think you're going to get... Let me explain something to you and to your listeners who probably don't get it. I go to malls, I go to amusement parks, wherever I want, and I take pictures of children. And I get them in the most candid shots. You know, a kid will be swinging on a monkey beam, or monkey bar, I should say. Or they're dancing into the bathroom, you know, and you follow them in there with a camera. And what you're doing is you're just getting them in these candid shots, that's all.
Well, now, don't you think that a security guard has the right to ask you?
Wait. Why do you say, why am I different from this man? I know that was his son. But
exactly. That was his son. You don't know these kids. Okay?
I'm not laying a hand on these kids. I'm not... I don't know what it is you're inferring to. You're inferring to, or you're... I don't know what it is that you're referring.
You don't know what it is that I'm inferring or referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that you're inferring or referring to, but I have not. I'm not putting my hands on them. All I'm doing is I'm taking their pictures. I don't know them. I don't want to know them.
But you've got, you say, volumes and volumes of photographs of children that you don't know, right?
That I don't. In what sense don't I know them? I feel I've looked at their pictures for years.
In the sense, Art, come on, in the sense that you have never met them, you don't know these children, that's not your son like this man.
You got me on your show to talk about these fascists that are running the security forces at these malls telling me what I get to take a picture of. And the same thing with this guy.
But I didn't know that you were taking pictures of children that are not your kids, that are strange kids, strangers.
See, you call them strange, or this other guy says there goes a Chinese one, but I'm the guy that gets locked out of the mall. How does that work?
I'm not trying to lock you out. I'll tell you what we'll do. Hold the line. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for our guest here, Art Griego, as he's... we were talking about a father in Great Britain who was stopped by a security guard and told you can't take pictures of that little boy. Well, it was his own son. And eventually they worked it out. Art has been taking pictures of little kids for a long time. None of them are his kids. They're just strange kids. They're kids in the mall. And he was stopped by a security guard the other day and told that he had to stop and was thrown out of the mall for taking these pictures. He says he has, like, volumes of photo albums. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Bill Hendrick.
Phil, welcome back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show on the line. We're talking with Art Griego, who is a photographer, a studio photographer, as well as a professional photographer. Although you made most of your money as a pilot, right, Art?
I did thrill commercial and charter flights, but retired. I went into photojournalism for a very small local paper here in Santa Monica, and then started doing studio photography, and now I just. You know, because I'm retired, I like to take pictures.
You're taking pictures of little kids?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's interesting. I just finally sort of got the gist of what it is you're inferring here. You know.
Well, look, I'm not inferring anything, Art. I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong.
Well, you're pretty much walking up to the line. You're trying to say that there's something odd about what I like to do. I'm not doing anything wrong. I just happen to like taking photographs of my kids and putting them in these albums.
You know, well, okay, so you have pictures. They're not your kids, you know.
I know they're not my kids, but I consider them my kids when they're on the... This is an artistic... And the more that I talk to you, I know the more of a fruit that I probably sound like. What I'm saying is this is something that I enjoy.
And well, what do you do with these albums?
With the photo albums?
Yeah.
I'll look at them.
You take the photo albums out?
Yes. And I thumb through them. I enjoy looking at my kids.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, I don't want you to go to a phone call or anything because you're leaving the impression that I sound like some kind of a creep, and I am not. This guy, the father in England, and I are the same guy.
Except you got thrown out of the mall, and he was allowed to continue. He was allowed to continue shopping with his son when they realized it was his son.
And what did I get thrown out of the mall for?
You said that you followed a kid into the bathroom with your camera.
I didn't follow him into the toilet. Kids, as I said, I said that kids are interesting to take pictures of candidly. Okay.
Right, but if you're following a kid into the bathroom with a camera, people are going to have some thoughts.
Okay, who's got the filthy mind now, me or the grandmother that turned me in? Because that's who did it. There was an old woman about as nosy as they come.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get a phone call here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Bill in Houston, Texas. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this guy, I work security, and just listening to this last comment that he made that the grandmother was a nosy bitty. Now, my main question to this gentleman is, if he's collecting all these photos of children and he says that they're interesting to him, is he trying to sell them to the parents of the children, or is he just collecting them and saying, these are my children?
Well, Phil, I resent the implication here that this gentleman, like, I'm some kind of an oddball, you know.
No,
well, what is the answer, though? You know,
I didn't say you were an oddball. You're the only one saying that you're an oddball. You're saying that you're collecting these photos and you're studying them, but are you offering to sell these photos to the parents of the children that you're taking pictures of? That's my question.
Right, right.
I mean, if you're just collecting them for yourself and saying that I look at them in your Stephen King voice, well, that brings concern to me.
In my what? You know, sir, what does that mean?
Spooky, what, creepy.
I don't understand it. Well, sir, the only one with any creepy thoughts is you. You're a security guard. You're not, you know, Sherlock Holmes.
No,
so I don't know what
it.
What are your qualifications?
Let me ask the question here. Do you go home with these pictures? Oh, do you try to sell them?
I'm going to sell them. You mean online to some pervert? No.
No, to the parents.
No, I don't sell them to the parents. I don't know who the parents are. I take them home. I put them in my photo albums. I look at them. The gentleman asked, do I study them? Let me say this. They're fully clothed. If I made money off my pictures, I'd feel like I was compromising my work and my integrity. I keep them in albums to look them over. You know,
and
get up in the middle of the night,
and
I'll go in for
would be that you would find that child's parents and say, I took a photo of you. I think your child is interesting. You would turn it into an art instead of a personal collection that you're anonymous to the parent.
This is coming from a security guard? You're telling me what?
Oh, okay.
Boy, that's a laugh.
That's, just it. That's the part where that's you don't understand. Laugh. There are a lot of them that go into the security business to stay within that field. I mean,
well,
just because you say that security guard, you're going to slander security guards, but then it's like you don't want anyone to call you creepy, and what you're doing is basically you're a stalker. You're a predator.
You're calling me. Wait a minute. You're telling me what art is? You're telling me how to be an artist? And you're walking around with your flat feet. Now look,
don't insult this man. Don't insult the man. Okay.
Oh, it's all right. It just goes to show that you're defensive for a reason. You feel in your own mind that there is something creepy and that you're doing, and that you also
use the word creepy. You're the one that used the word creepy.
That what you're doing is not totally on the up and up. I mean, if you're not putting it out for the public to see, and you have your personal collection of kiddie photos and you're putting them on the internet and selling them, you don't know who's out there.
I am not putting them on the internet and excuse me, I'm not putting them on the internet and selling them. And you're the guy that called me creepy. I didn't say anything about that. You said I got a Stephen King voice, which I thought sounded weird coming from you.
If you're the one that's collecting something for your own personal collection and then you come on the radio because you like the attention, okay, they're fully clothed. Okay. But who's to say what type of mind that you have when you're easily snapped on this? It's supposed to be an open dialect where you put your opinion out there, but you don't want other people to express their opinion
right.
about how they feel.
Well,
about
I think, and let me just grab a moment here because I think you're making a good point, Bill. This is just a man expressing an opinion, and Art, you're being very defensive. When you say, I mean, don't you think it's legitimate for us to say, wow, you shouldn't be following a kid into the bathroom?
I told you that I'm an artist, and I take very candid shots. The kid was dancing into the toilet area, and he was unbuckling his pants.
Wait, whoa. See,
I'm
going
to follow you around into the bathroom, and I'll just watch you until you, undo your zipper and say, okay, now I need to give you your privacy because I know what's going on.
You work for Minneapolis PD? I guess so.
What is that? Some kind of a joke?
Well, that's what they do in Minneapolis, don't they? The cops walk around trying to get a guy to touch them.
What are you talking about?
What are you doing then? Are you trying to get these kids to touch you? I mean, just like that comment that you're making.
You said you'd follow me into a toilet. You said you'd follow me into a bathroom and unbuckle my pants.
Would you like for someone to follow you into a restroom? That's what I said to you. If you're going to be this...
Phil Hendry.
Phil, Art Griego with us. Art is a retired pilot. You know, this all started, this is a conversation, Art, about this father in Sunderland, England, who was stopped by a security guard and told to not take pictures of his own four-year-old son because the security guard thought that this father might be engaged in some sort of pedophilia. Now, this is a father with his own son.
That is my point. This is me with my kids.
No, but these aren't your kids. You're taking pictures of strange children.
They are. Every bit when the police questioned me at my home.
When did the police question you at your home?
I told you that when they told me to leave the mall, the police asked to come to my residence, and I was very happy to let them come to my residence. They wanted in, and I said, that wasn't part of what you wanted. And they said, no. I said, well, in that case, I can't let you in, because they wanted to take my children, if you will, and analyze them as if it was just meat hanging on a hook someplace. These are the children of this new millennium. And when I look at these children, I see the future of our country, and they would turn this into something filthy. They would turn this into something that is so reprehensible and vile that I wanted to assault this police officer, and I didn't, but I knew it was in his foul cop mind, these ideas.
And let's not insult our police, okay?
I knew it was in his mind.
But can I ask you a question?
Who's stopping you, Mr. Hendry? I've been insulted.
No, I don't want to insult you. I wanted to ask you. You're taking pictures of children that you don't know, right?
Yeah.
How do you choose which child you want to photograph?
Well, now you're getting into something that is very, what I call very personal and very sacred. You're asking me what? You're asking me?
I'm asking you just how do you choose which kid?
Now, that's very personal. That's sacred. Those are things that I don't think, you wouldn't ask anybody. You wouldn't have the temerity to ask anyone something as personal and as intrusive as that.
I'm simply asking you, sir.
That is a very sacred thing.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a phone call here. Leo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Leo, go ahead, sir.
Well, hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I told you a screener. I said, this guy Art is a bit of a wacko, first of all, for not listening to what your story in England was all about. And then as I'm sitting here waiting to get on, I heard the story. Start talking about bathroom techniques. I mean, what the hell is that all about? I mean, it was just getting weirder and weirder. But, you know, there are hundreds of people that heard the story
about the father in England, and it's the same story that I have. My children are being pawed over by the local cops, and I said, don't touch my children. You see, Leo?
Yeah, they're pawed over by the cops?
Yeah, I had my albums with my children in them, and the cop says, who are these? I said, these are children that I've seen. And
right.
He said to me, are you some kind of a weirdo? And that's when I said, you know what, officer? I've never been in jail. Don't tempt me.
You didn't talk to the cop that way.
I most certainly did. And the cop said to me, I have to take this for evidence in case you're some kind of a sick, weird, you know, one of these guys that they get their, you know what I'm saying, right? And so they took my children.
Well, you know, Phil, there are hundreds of people languishing in jail right now.
They took my children from me.
The police have found all kinds of pedophilia type pictures.
My name is Phil. My name is Art.
On their computers.
My name is Art, and I don't have pictures
on. They're just having them on their computers.
I, you're absolutely right, Leo.
Well, let me ask this guy a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
Hey, Leo.
Yes.
Have you got anything on your computers? Yeah.
I've got pictures of golden retrievers.
Yeah.
Does that make me a person of bestiality?
Golden retriever, is that code for something?
No,
golden
dogs.
Retrievers are my kids with fur, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you don't think that that's weird, huh, collecting pictures of dogs? You think that's fine. I collect pictures of human beings. I'm weird. You got pictures of dogs, and everybody loves you.
Well,
these
you got
pictures
that
help me what?
But the thing
well,
is,
these pictures help me wind down. It helps me get to sleep at night.
What, the pictures of the kids?
Taking a very, very short step from what you're doing to pedophilia. It's a very short step,
Leo,
between just taking pictures of kids and saving them and preserving them and, you know, having album fulls of pictures of little kids that aren't your own. You know, I've got a lot of pictures of my grandchildren.
Okay. What's the difference?
Don't even go there.
Wait a minute. What is the difference?
Exactly.
He's got
right.
pictures
no,
of
exactly
dogs.
Right.
And, wait a minute. He's got pictures of dogs and his grandkids, and everybody probably thinks that he's just the greatest thing since the second coming of Don Amici. And I'm a perv because what?
They're not your kids because you never had kids.
You're one step away. You're one step away.
You're the guy that has a computer loaded with shots of golden retrievers. And you're not one step away?
No, because this guy, along with so many other Americans, breed dogs, they show dogs, okay?
Okay.
Well, when's the last time you heard about a kid show?
A what?
Do they have a kid show at Westminster?
You know what?
Ask about Acorn and their kid shows.
Both of you guys, you're calling me nuts? Here's a guy talking about Acorn having kid shows? All I wanted
to
do.
Yeah, well, you saw the video. You saw the video.
Huh? Look, not all of the kids I photograph are attractive, so it's not pedophilia. You can't call it pedophilia when a lot of these kids put me off with their looks.
You know, with everything you say, man.
No.
With everything you say, you dig it deeper and deeper and deeper. Look, Leo, thanks so much for your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir. Everything you say, you're, I'm very good. Thank you very much, sir. Everything you say, you're digging it deeper.
What? Listen, I got one thing I'd like to ask. You know, he was talking about his grandmother reported him following this child into the bathroom. First, she was on guard, and that's what she should have been doing, because I'd want somebody. I watch my surroundings for things like this just going on. And for another part of it, he should also ask the parents if it's okay to photograph their child. If he's not doing that, he's going beyond what he would call being an artist.
I mean, I have done that. I will ask them. Most of the time, they look at me like I'm a creep. And I feel that that's prejudicial and bigoted.
No, wait. You are a creep. I mean, I want to say, in America, we don't do that. I mean, we don't stalk kids into the bathroom and take pictures of kids in bathrooms.
Sir.
That's just
not it. No, it wasn't the bathroom. It wasn't that he was in a bathroom. It was that he was skipping. He skipped into the bathroom, and I thought it was an interesting move. So I, in order not to attract a lot of attention, I skipped behind him with the camera.
No wonder that woman called security.
Why? Because I'm taking a candid picture of a child. Boy, you know, don't you gentlemen realize how sick your minds are?
And the little boy is, let me get, the little boy skipped into the bathroom, and so that you wouldn't attract attention, you skipped behind him.
Yes.
And then when did you take? Behind you, she should have had a daggone stick when you walked in there.
I
give it a high five for Grandma. I feel that's all I got.
Sir, I am trying very hard, you know, but if this isn't an episode of Hee Haw, you know, this woman is...
No, look, have some respect.
You know, the lady, I looked around, and there was this old bag eyeballing me up and down. And I said to myself, you know, I know the look. I know the look from... It goes back many, many... It goes back centuries, really, in our culture. When you turn around and you look at some old woman with her nose squinched up and her eyeballs set together, and this is a look that goes back centuries. And I knew. I knew then and there... that a piece of art was going to be befouled by another member of life's concentration camp guards. Hello?
You know something, man.
Oh, you really, man? What, man?
You know, you're over the top. It doesn't even begin to tell the story of a guy like you. Life's concentration camp guard, that old lady... called that security guy because she saw you with a camera skipping behind a little kid into a bathroom. Frank in Iowa City, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
I get all kinds of insults, I'll tell you that.
Good, sir. Thank you for calling.
This guy, you're a professional photographer, so you can understand, you know, taking pictures of the kids, you know, if you're selling it for advertisement or anything else, you know, that's understandable, you know, catching kids.
No,
and moments.
I'm not selling it. I'm too much of an artist to sell it. These are photographs that need to be kept.
I mean, when you're doing this for your own personal thing, and it's something that helps you go to sleep, and you're following children in the bathroom. You know, you got to realize you're stepping over the bounds there. You know, it's one thing to be an artist, but it's another thing to invade people's privacy. What you're doing here is not right.
No, I can ask the host. You've got me answering questions. These people are not professional psychologists.
No, but they are human beings. They're people who are out in the... You know something? Let me tell you something, Art. This world would be a better place if the average man, the average woman like Frank or people took more of an appreciation and a concern about our fellow men. If we look around ourselves and see stuff that's going on, he doesn't have to be a professional. He knows what behavior is threatening.
Oh, really? I'm skipping into the bathroom.
You're skipping into a bathroom behind a little kid?
That's straight common sense. That's common sense.
Are you going to tackle me because I'm skipping into a bathroom?
You shouldn't follow a child in the bathroom to take a picture of him. That's common sense.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you've never gone to a men's room behind a little kid?
We're not talking about that, man.
Not with the person to take a photograph. Come on. Think about it.
You know something?
Even if I sat around, you know, say I had kids and I sat around and I looked at pictures of them to help me go to sleep, and they're my children, that would be weird. Come on now.
That's weird.
You're taking pictures of other people's children and going and using them to go to sleep. Now, that's just not normal.
It relaxes me, okay?
Where do you keep these pictures?
I told you that is sacred.
Where you keep the pictures is sacred.
Oh, you guys make a joke out of that, too?
Mr. Grego, where...
It's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
The things I do are weird. The things I do, what do I do that's weird? What do I do that's weird, sir? What do I do? Okay, is it weirder than living
in
a house?
You have photographs of probably thousands of people's kids who you don't even know, and you keep them in your personal collection, and you sit there and you use them to help yourself do that night in the middle of the night or to go to bed. Or to thumb through for your own personal.
You guys are thinking what I think you're thinking. You guys are sick. Why are you guys racist against photographers? What,
sir? We're the ones racist against here.
Why are
it's
you racist
sense.
Against photographers?
All right. It's got nothing to do with being racist. Frank, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. It's got nothing to do with being racist.
You know, I'm looking at Red Eye right now, and there's a priest on there. There's a priest on there with makeup, and he's talking, and everybody loves his ass. Excuse my language, but they do. And I'm on the hot seat here because I take pictures. And there's a priest, and Gutfield's giving him all kinds of love. Hello?
Yeah?
Oh, okay, so you don't get it, huh?
No, I don't get it. I don't get you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Art Griego and all these racists and bigots against photographers. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
It's Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, Art Griego. On the line with us, Art, you've had a very distinguished career as a pilot. Going into photography, it sounds to me like suddenly, your interest is all I'm trying to say. You know,
well, my interests are unhealthy, according to you.
I don't want to say your interests are unhealthy, Art. I think that when you say things like, you know, you don't want to tell me how you pick the kids out because it's sacred, I worry. You know.
Well, thanks very much, but you don't need to worry, okay?
No,
you don't need to worry, okay? Yeah, I do worry. I got a wife that can worry, and I've got a... What do you mean you worry?
It doesn't sound healthy. Let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Annette in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Annette.
Worry.
Yeah, this is where in California?
Yeah, where are you, Art?
Well, yeah, I'm in Santa Monica.
Right.
Oh, I grew up in Santa Monica. Actually, and my late husband was an internationally known photojournalist. He's hung in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. But here in Las Vegas,
what did you say about her husband?
He has his work in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
I understand. Okay, The way you said it originally sounded...
Well,
no, she said her husband's work is,
is hung. That means it's displayed for public appreciation. I have over 5 million negatives that I sell out of. Our daughter is a famous architectural photographer. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm also a licensed master social work, and I investigate children who have been sexually molested. And you show every classical symptom of a pedophile. I would have to say that if I were making a clinical diagnosis, you are one. Now, pedophiles don't always...
Wait a minute. You got a husband that was in the museum, and your daughter is a this, and you're that. This is absolute slander. This is slander.
Excuse me. No,
And if I find out who you are, I will get those paintings or those pictures as the down payment on the money you'll owe me from a lawsuit.
Excuse me, no.
Wait a
second.
I'm
an expert witness. I'm sorry. I am protected legally.
How much does it cost to have you testify? I bet you it costs a pretty penny, doesn't it?
It depends.
In other words, you're for sale. You're for sale, aren't you? I could have
I work for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police.
Metropolitan Museum Police?
No, I work for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, if I
and
paid you enough, wouldn't you come?
I have taped
you come
your,
and
I have
say that what
this.
I do is normal?
All right, now hold on.
No,
and that
absolutely
is an expert.
Not normal.
And
if I paid you enough, couldn't you sit as my witness and say that I am a normal man? If
no,
I paid you enough.
I can't because I can't lie. I cannot perjure myself.
What do you call lying? If I said to you, Annette, if you came to my home and you looked at the pictures and I said, I've never laid a hand on these kids, I will follow them into the toilet area, but it's not because I want to see anything. It's
no,
just
I'm
I want
sorry.
To get a good
that
shot.
Is... That is abnormal.
Boy, that sounds,
and it is
that really, it sounds weird.
It is pedophilic. I'm sorry.
Pedophilic?
Yeah.
What, you know, these are words, pedophilic. It sounds like the L.A. Pedophilic Orchestra. You know, it doesn't mean anything. What I'm trying to say
you
is
have,
something artistic.
I think, excuse me, my professional diagnosis, and it would have to be very quick, because you show every single symptom of being a pedophile. You are but one thin line from stepping over and harming a child. And I really hope, I'm sorry the Santa Monica police mishandled it. And since I still have connections in Santa Monica, I
well,
will
we don't
be
know it was the
them.
Santa Monica well, hold on. We don't know if it was the Santa Monica police. Was it Art?
No, but I'm not going to say who, because I don't need her
busybody
nose sticking in.
Well, they need
well,
to
if, all right.
I don't need her calling every cop station in L.A. bothering them at this time of night.
Oh, I see.
I'll do it when I get
you're
to
really...
work in the morning.
Oh, wait a minute. I find it very convenient that your husband and daughter are photographers. And now, what are you? Are you a doctor?
I have a master's. I'm a licensed social worker.
Okay, well, you can't diagnose.
Oh, yes,
it's
I can.
Right there. No, you can't.
Oh, yes, I
you
can.
You can't diagnose. Can you prescribe medicine?
Has
then
nothing to
diagnose.
Do with medicine. I could recommend you see a doctor,
you
yes.
Can, but you cannot prescribe unless you can prescribe me drugs that can calm it down. And I think you know what I mean by it.
Yeah,
now,
I do.
I want to ask this lady. Okay, I want to ask you a question.
So I would recommend you see a medical doctor and
would
that you,
you
see a psychiatrist.
You
unless you want to really harm children and you want to be in
I
jail.
Don't. No, I don't want to harm children. What I really want to do, what if I told you what I really want to do is sleep with you? You'd say no, and you should.
Absolutely
but,
not.
Okay.
And
oh,
you
see,
sleep with your
you
wife.
You don't want me harming children, but you won't even let me sleep with you. I question this lady's motives, Phil.
What are you talking about, man? This lady's calling up and talking about something serious.
Okay, and I'm saying, would she sleep with me? And she said no. So how can she lie?
Your wife? One question. Do you sleep with your wife? I mean, have sex.
She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me having the albumin in the bedroom.
She has every
so
right to. That's a good
separate,
judgment.
We have separate beds.
Ah.
But
that
I,
is classic.
Said,
that is one of the classic
yeah.
is a marriage
well,
of convenience
Desi,
that is not
Desi and
marriage.
Lucy had separate beds. Desi and Lucy had separate beds. How do you feel about that? See?
Yeah, on television.
Yeah, no, not television. In real life. Don't see, she thinks it's all funny. It's getting touched.
No, she doesn't. Phil Hendry.